The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
This is Making Business Work Better. And now, here's your host, Mike Miro.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mike Miro with the Making Business Work Better radio show, and we're glad to have everybody with us today. Boy, it's just been great weather down here in Texas, but we're kind of sad about what happened to the Cowboys. So, but we'll get over it. And moving on, our goal today is to try to address some of the issues that small business owners have and uncover some of those things and also come up with some solutions. And our goal with this show is to bring some answers to some of the questions that small business owners face on a day-to-day basis. So we're going to, without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and move forward and get started. We have a very special guest with us today. Russell Birch is a local business banker, and he's been in the banking business for a little over 3 years. Prior to that, Russ has been involved in various aspects of business for the last 14 years, including owning his own direct mail business. So he understands the perspective that many small business owners have, and one of the things that I love about Russ is his passion to help remove the financial obstacles that small business owners have. And so without further ado, I want to welcome you, Russ. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be here. How are you today?
Doing just great.
Excellent.
Well, Russ, right off the bat, one of the things that I see all the time are situations where business owners get into financial stuff. You know, they either don't have enough capital or their cash flow is a problem. They have too much debt or whatever. Talk to me a little bit about some of the things that you see out there in the folks you deal with from a small business perspective.
I'd be glad to. Thank you. Yeah, probably the biggest thing that I see that's the biggest obstacle for small business is truly that most businesses are undercapitalized. That is, they just don't have enough cash to get where they want to go. There's a lot of things they've got on their plate as far as, you know, hiring new employees or marketing campaigns or just securing the equipment to run their day-to-day operations that they just don't have the money for. And that's probably the biggest thing that hinders most businesses from growing. Along with that, you know, I do see a huge problem in the industry with just understanding and managing cash flow. Oftentimes businesses will be running so fast and so furious just to make the sale and keep going that they burn through their cash too quickly. And as in any business, there are good times and hard times. So it's a matter of trying to manage that cash flow. And there's a couple different ways and a couple different things that a business can put into place to really kind of even out the bumps in the road, if you will, and try to just make things a little bit easier for them.
Right. I understand that. A lot of times I'll hear business owners talk about the seasons or the cycles that they go through in sales, you know. There will be times when sales are really good for that particular time of the year and other parts where sales get really, really slow. And it's usually in those slow times that we begin to hear the issues of cash flow come up.
Right.
So as you encounter this, what are some things that small business owners can begin to think about or address to kind of deal with this cash flow issue?
Probably the first thing that I would recommend that every business owner needs to do is make sure they've got a real key strategic relationship with their banker, you know, whoever that banker may be, and really with somebody that understands their business, that has taken the time to figure out, okay, what does my business do, who do I do it for, and really have that banker come in and put their arms around the company to understand it. You know, having that relationship is key to everything you want to do moving forward. Once your banker understands truly what it is you do and how that banker can help, then putting the right pieces in place. I am a big proponent of really putting in a cash flow insurance policy in place, having a working capital line of credit. You know, as you said, there are always seasons to every business. There are good times and bad times, and putting that working capital line of credit into place is truly going to help that business during those lean times. And really, I recommend that every business, that when times are going well, put one in place. You know, put a line of credit in place so that when you do need it down the road, it's there and it's available. It's not an emergency credit card. It shouldn't be used to say, you know, let's go get some new office furniture. It's truly for those times when cash flow is tight and you need to sustain the business and keep moving in the right direction.
Okay. What, you know, you talk about the relationship that small business owners should have with their banker. What are the things that a small business owner should look for in trying to find a banker that will do what you just described?
Most importantly, I would follow the WIFM rule. You know, what's in it for me? Does your business banker truly have your interest and your company's interest at heart? I mean, do they have that top of mind? It really should be all about you and your business, and it really shouldn't be about what the business banker has got to sell that day. It's truly about how your business is going to grow. I kind of break it down with my clients into doing two things. My job really is to help remove financial roadblocks and then to try to help your business grow. At the end of the day, that's truly what you need your advisor, your business banker, to do for you. And that's really the crux of everything. The key to the relationship is, are they in it for the long haul for your success?
Russ, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got into banking, how you transitioned from, you know, being involved in business at the various levels you did into moving into the banking relationships.
Sure. Always a great question, a great story. Mike, I've been a sales guy for the last 14 years. I've done everything from software consulting, I did some management consulting. I was in medical implants for a while. I was in the HR payroll arena. I owned a small business for a brief time for a couple of years. But truly for me, it all broke down to relationships. There's tons of products out there. There's, you know, lots of things that can help a business to grow and succeed as a sales guy. So you're always looking for that thing within your life or within your career that does help other people. But, you know, at the end of the day, for me, it was all relationships. It was, where can I have the biggest impact in other people's lives? And for me, truly, it became into business banking. I had some key relationships with some people in a different industry, and they helped walk me into the door into banking, and I've loved it ever since, because I get to have a positive impact on the lives of business owners and also their employees. Again, that's my job, is financial roadblocks and getting rid of those and try to help the business grow. And having that relationship piece is really what it's all about. It's, you know, products and services are pretty similar between all of the different areas, regardless of the industry. But if you can bring the relationship into it and fully understand, you know, what does your client do, why do they do it, and how you can help them, it's just incredibly satisfying and rewarding.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that when I work with small business owners, I always tell them there's five key relationships every business owner should have, and one of them is absolutely having a good business banker, somebody that they trust, somebody that has taken the time to learn about their business, and more importantly, has taken the time to build that relationship. You know, it's funny, Russ, I encounter, you know, you can't throw a rock and not hit a business banker these days. And, you know, and everybody's out there going after the same folks. And what I've discovered is the people who have a lot of success in the banking arena are the ones that aren't looking for that quick deal or that quick loan or those types of things, but are really interested in becoming the part of that core five advisory board, so to speak, for small business owners.
Absolutely.
And you know, I know from the folks that I know you're really, really good at developing those relationships.
Thank you.
When you got into this and started working with these small business owners and started seeing some of the frustrations, what are some of the specific things that, you know, apart from just having a line of credit, what other things can small business owners do to kind of get their financial house in order?
Probably the first thing they need to make sure they do is have a great relationship with their accountant, with their CPA, and truly make sure they understand what their books mean. You know, how are they doing from an income standpoint? How are their expenses? And kind of having a financial checkup on their business to see, where are we going? There's oftentimes I'll run into business owners, you know, the smaller business owners that aren't entirely sure. You know, they're busy, they're doing all the work, and they're just doing business every single day, but they're really not sure at the end of the year where everything's going to fall out. That's probably the first thing I would do is just get a checkup. You know, where do they stand and really kind of move forward from there. The next thing would be really to sit down with their banker and say, okay, where do I stand from a debt standpoint? And truly understanding the debt of the business and then trying to understand leverage from that standpoint. There's good debt to have and there's bad debt to have. And a good business banker should be able to sit down with you and have that conversation and say, okay, you know, you've got some things in this bucket over here that, you know, we might be able to restructure this or do this a little bit differently that's going to help you in 6 months and 12 months and 18 months down the road. So understanding, you know, really the leverage of that company's cash is a great conversation to have. You know, oftentimes it's a combination of so many different things. It's not understanding where the business is. It's a somewhat cloudy idea of where the business is going. But business owners at times need to take a step back and really understand, what are they doing? Are they spending time working, you know, in their business all the time and just doing the production? Or are they taking time and stepping back and saying, you know what, I need to understand, what's my vision here? What's my goal?
Doing some planning or some things like that.
Absolutely. It's, you know, a lot of times business owners get so busy being busy, they don't plan.
Yeah.
So in 3 years, they end up right where they thought they would be, which is nowhere. And it's just that taking that time to sit back and plan, you know, really puts things into clarity and puts things into focus so they can have those relationships with their banker, with their CPA, with their insurance guy, their attorneys, with their coach, and really understand, okay, is my business firing on all cylinders? And if not, what's broken? How do I fix that?
Russ, what are some of the key things you look for when you're making a decision on whether or not you're interested in taking on a business owner as a client? What are some of the key things you look for first in really trying to evaluate whether or not this is a good prospective client for you, or more not so much a client, but someone with which you would build a relationship?
Great question. Actually, there's a number of different things. One, you know, I would always want to find out, what are the needs of the client first? You know, what are their objectives? As you mentioned, you can't, you know, throw a rock and not hit a business banker. There is a bank on every corner and in every city in this country. And so what really sets people apart? And I always want to know, why did they pick me? Or why did I get the appointment to sit in front of them? What's important to them? That means a lot. And that really kind of helps me focus, okay, what is this guy going to do, or this gal going to do in the next 12 months or 18 months? You know, because we're going to get real ingrained in their company. I'm going to figure out what they're doing and why they're doing.
Yeah.
And I want to know that, because that's incredibly important when you start looking at lending money or just the relationship of helping them manage their money. That's important to me. Now, I'm going to look at, how are they doing their day-to-day operations? Are they an absentee owner, or are they in the shop all the time?
Okay.
Do they outsource some of the tasks that they should outsource, or are they trying to control everything? I'll look at different aspects of how they run their day-to-day business lives and try to formulate a plan beyond that to help them out.
Okay. So even just observing the way they run their business can give you some key indicators in terms of potentially how this business is doing and whether or not they would be a viable candidate for a line of credit or potentially some loans of some kind.
Absolutely.
Okay. And when you look at these businesses and the way they operate, what do you know, tell me about some of the things you've seen out there.
Absolutely everything. I've seen businesses that are just, you know, down to a T. They have everything, you know, firing on all cylinders, and they're really, you know, very meticulous in what they do, very thorough, very planned, and very action and goal-oriented, to people that say, you know what, I'm going to start a business today and I don't know how it's going to work, and they're just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. So I've seen a lot of both.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will get into running their own business because they're disillusioned with corporate America, or, you know, circumstances happen in their life that has kind of not necessarily forced them that way, but it's helped them to make that decision. And oftentimes they're kind of flying blind.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure of what the next step is, or, you know, who do I have a relationship with? You know, I don't have a CPA. Do I need a CPA? Or I don't have a banker. How do I find one? So,
okay. You know, one of the things I hear a lot from people that are thinking about starting a business is that they have this perception they're just going to pick up the phone, call their bank, and get an SBA loan. Doesn't quite work that way, does it?
Not entirely, no. That can be a process. It's something you need to go into with a lot of homework and a lot of persistence. The SBA program can be a fantastic program for businesses that are starting up and are needing some of the assistance, but it's not a, here, fill out two forms, and we'll see if we can get this thing done for you. It does take some time.
What are the key things that, business owners need to think about if they're interested in getting an SBA loan?
First and foremost, write a business plan. If
okay.
they don't know how to write one, find somebody who does.
Okay.
You know, hire somebody who knows how to write a plan, but write it in such a way that it addresses the financial questions that a bank, a lender is going to want to hear. Is, you know, where's the cash flow going to come from? If you borrow money, how are you going to pay us back? And
okay.
is that cash flow repeatable and sustainable?
Okay. All right. Pretty basic stuff. But
really
it's interesting how many folks that I encounter that are starting up businesses that, you know, they know that they've got a good product, but they, you know, when it comes to pulling together the financial aspects of the business, they really, really struggle with that. And so I think your idea about getting some help is a great one, because most small business owners are not trained in the financial arena. And a lot of them, you know, they're really good at whatever it is they're doing or trying to sell, but they really struggle in this area. And thus, probably one of the reasons we see so many businesses struggle is because they're not good in this arena.
That's true. And really not knowing where to look. You know, again, it boils down to, at the end of the day, it's all relationships.
Yeah.
If you don't know who to talk to or who to get advice from, it makes it challenging. So, you know, build that network as deep and wide as you possibly can, because you never know who you'll need to tap in that relationship or in that network to help you out.
So, as a business banker, what would you, if you were going to make, you know, what would be a good checklist of things that a small business owner should do to make sure they have that right banking relationship?
First, I'd start off is, you know, number one is schedule the meeting with your banker and sit down and run the agenda of making sure, first, does your banker fully understand your business? Do they understand your goals, your vision, your mission? And do they agree with it, and are they kind of bought into what you're doing? That would be the first thing, making sure that your banker knows where you're going. Two, I'd figure out and ask, how can your banker help you get there? It's more than just checking accounts and savings accounts and deposits and those types of things. It's truly advice of how your banker can help advise you to get you where you need to go. And it may be within that particular institution, or it may be outside of that institution with just, you know, a referral to another trusted advisor that could help you get to where you need to be.
Okay.
Those would be the two main key points.
Okay. And if we have a listener that is struggling in this area, do you recommend that they go ahead and call their banker, or should they talk to their CPA first?
It wouldn't hurt to go ahead and go right to their banker and to their CPA.
Okay.
Absolutely. Talk to everybody you can that you think you can get some wise counsel from.
Okay.
And sit down and say, here's my plan, here's where I want to go. Is this something that you as an institution can help me with or cannot, or what do you recommend? That would be a great step.
You know, there's a lot of stuff in the press these days about what's going on at the banks because of the mortgage crisis that's going on, and some of the loans that are not necessarily panning out the way everybody expected. What should a small business owner be looking for in terms of making sure that they're with a bank that's not going to, you know, get itself into a tough situation like what's going on right now with mortgages?
Really, I'd look for tenure within the bank, not necessarily where they stand in the you know, top 10 across the country, but, you know, how is the business positioned from a management standpoint? I would look at how they're diversified. Are they heavy into, you know, one particular product versus another? That may be something that not necessarily a red flag, but something you may want to be considerate of is, you know, do they have all their eggs in one basket? Or are they diversified enough as an institution that there really isn't much of a worry? But it, really, in this day and age, with the way things are at, there aren't too many concerns from a large organization.
You know, there are, you mentioned it earlier that there are so many different banks out there. Is it better to work with a larger, more well-established bank, or is it better to try to find a local, more homegrown or smaller bank?
I think it really depends on your situation and depends on your business. Certain institutions are aligned better with other businesses and other types of industries than others. But really, at the end of the day, Mike, it boils down to the relationship. Whether you've got a branch that is, you know, a bank that has one branch or that has 500, do you trust and believe in your business banker to help you get you where you need to be?
Okay.
Ultimately, that's the best measure for me. If I was going to have a business and run that, I would say, okay, does my banker get it? Is he here or is she here to help me?
Okay. So it really comes down to making sure that you have that right relationship, that they have a good, thorough understanding of your business, and also that they have the products and services that can meet your needs based on what you're trying to do in your business.
Absolutely, that's it.
How does international needs come into play here? You know, I mean, I know there's some businesses out there that while they're doing a really good business here locally, they're looking at expanding internationally. How does that come into play in a banking relationship?
Again, depends on the institution. Some banks will have some international components to them. Others will not. You know, there are XM banks, you know, import-export banks out there in every major city that can handle a lot of that. Really, that's the first question. If you're looking to expand overseas, ask your banker, you know, how can we handle these things?
Yeah, do you get into issues in regards to exchange rates or currency issues or things like that?
Absolutely. Anytime you go overseas, there's always three or
yeah.
four more layers you've got to deal with. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know in one organization I worked with, we always had we were selling product in Canada.
Yeah.
And one of the things we always had to deal with from a financial perspective was the different valuations of the dollar, you know, compared to where it is in the U.S. And, you know, trying to account for that became quite a difficult chore.
It'd be a challenge. I would definitely make sure if you're going to have a conversation with your bank that your business banker, you know, may or may not be completely up to speed on the foreign exchange rates. So most large institutions, and really most institutions in general, will have a foreign exchange department to really help and assist there, because that's all that department will do. So ask that question: do you have a foreign exchange department?
Okay. You know, more and more with the advent of the Internet, lots of businesses or the availability is out there now of online banking and the ability to transact business via the Internet. What's your recommendation, or what do you say to business owners who go, well, I'm not so sure about this Internet thing yet?
Well, it hasn't gone away yet, so it's a very good thing. Really, with the way that the laws are written and the way the security is, that it's a very, very safe way to go and a safe way to conduct your business and to move funds and those types of things. It gives also a business owner a good snapshot of where they stand at really any given time.
Okay.
You know, again, going back to when we talked about earlier of not having a plan or not really having much focus, having online access to your accounts really lets you know, okay, what's going on? What are the transactions that are hitting my account here so they can either plan or change their plan accordingly?
Okay. What type of, apart from a line of credit, what other credit vehicles do you think a small business owner needs?
Well, it kind of breaks down into two different categories. Anytime that you're looking to purchase something or use some funds that you plan on paying off in 12 months or less, I would recommend use a line of credit for that type of a transaction. Again, short-term financing used for cash flow or for something that you're going to pay off relatively quickly. Anything beyond 12 months, if we're looking for capital improvements or if we're just needing a larger cash injection into the business, there's a number of different types of straight term loans that you can look at, you know, with varying different lengths of maturity on there, depending on, again, how much you want to pay per month and different, you know, strategies from an interest standpoint. So those are a couple different options.
Okay. What about credit cards?
Credit cards is another great way. A lot of small businesses will start that way.
Okay.
They'll have two or three personal credit cards that they'll use, or they'll use some home equity to get a business off the ground. So I see that quite often.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that that's one of those areas that's kind of a, you know, you mentioned it earlier, you know, there's good credit and bad credit, you know, or good debt and bad debt.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things I think small business owners have to be careful of is that they don't get too deep into debt and trying to get their businesses off the ground, because, you know, at some point you have to pay all that back.
Exactly.
You know, and I've seen situations where small business owners have been so highly leveraged that, you know, it was going to be almost impossible to get out of the hole that they had put themselves in regards to their debt position. And so how can a business banker help, you know, in those types of situations where, say, a business owner has gotten themselves in a mess and they've got a lot of debt out there? How can a business banker help there?
Really kind of acting almost like a doctor and trying to diagnose, okay, what's the problem? You know, what got you to this point? And then after that, how do we get out of that point?
Okay.
You know, there may be a way of restructuring some of the existing debt, you know, taking some of the, say, credit card debt, for instance, and putting it into a longer-term vehicle to help, one, lower the monthly payments that are going out, but then to spread that over a longer time frame. I would look into if there's any commercial real estate involved. Is there a way to do maybe some cash out of equity to help with some of that shorter-term, higher interest rate debt that could eliminate some of those things? Really, that's kind of an open question because there's so many different roads that they can go down on. But,
Again,
sitting down with an open book and with your banker and saying, okay, here's where I'm at. What do you recommend? And really getting a full picture of all the debt that both the business owner and the business has will allow your banker to kind of diagnose, okay, what got you here and how do we get you out?
Very good. Well, Russ, we've kind of come to the end of our time today, and I really, really want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to our listeners and help give us some insights to the mind of a business banker and some very practical things that a business owner can go do. It, just real quick, if we could have one piece of advice that you would give anybody out there who's contemplating changing or reestablishing a banking relationship, what would it be?
Well, my biggest piece of advice is truly go out and start interviewing some bankers and find one that has a personality or the drive that your business needs. And find a relationship that works best for you. There are a lot of choices in the marketplace, and not one choice fits everybody. So find the relationship and find the person that you really think is going to take a hold of your business with you and really satisfy your needs and goals versus their own.
Okay. So back to that relationship.
That's what it's all about, Mike.
That's it. Well, Russell, thank you so much for your time.
We
look forward to chatting with you again in the future. And if anybody has any questions, specific questions they would like to forward to Russ, just shoot us an email at questions@makingbusinessworkbetter.com, and we'll get those over to Russ, and he'll be happy to get back to you and respond. All right, well, we are entering into the final phase of our program for today, and again, we want to thank Russ Birch, our local business banker, for his insight and wisdom regarding business banking for small business owners. We've received several emails this week, and one of the ones that we got deals with employee issues. Susan, owner of a staffing company in Tacoma, Washington, sent this to us. It says, I have three great employees and one that is not so great. There seems to be more and more tension in the office because the one employee who is creating tons of drama. Everything is an issue. Nothing works right, and she feels everyone is out to get her. She comes in late, leaves early, and her performance is mediocre at best. However, my customers love her. I don't know what to do. Can you help? Well, Susan, you know, dealing with employees in a small business is always a challenge. You know, it's a challenge in any business, large or small or startup or whatever. And what I have found, there's a couple of key things in dealing with employees. First of all, there has to be really clear expectations. you know, the fact that this person is coming in late and leaving early kind of says to me that we're not real clear about when we start and when we end our work day. So setting the expectations of what you expect from the employee is really, really important. Also making sure that the employees are being held accountable for the performance that you want. This is usually done via some type of job description, and making sure that in writing there's clear expectations of what they're responsible for, what decisions they can make, and how they're going to be held accountable for doing good work and knowing how they're going to be successful in their job. So making sure that those things are in place, and then probably the final thing, Susan, is having the courage to deal with those problem employees. You know, you've heard the old saying that one bad apple can spoil the bunch. Well, that's never more true when you're dealing with employee situations. And if you've got some really great employees and one that's not working out so well, then maybe what we need to do is deal with that problem head on. Don't pretend like it's going to go away. It won't go away. Employee issues need to be dealt with head on. And putting it off or prolonging it, thinking that things are going to get better, just perpetuates the problem. And so when you've got a situation with an employee who's not performing up to where you want them to be aggressive about dealing with it so that, number one, you can make sure that that employee turns their performance around. It may be a situation where you have to let them go and get somebody else. And your customers are business owners, too, and they understand that employee issues come into play. Be very proactive about communicating with them as well. So, Susan, thank you for your question. Hopefully that helps. And that's it for our radio show today. This is Mike Myro with the Making Business Work Better radio program. And we thank you very much for listening and look forward to next week, where we can bring some more wisdom to help empower you as a business owner, hopefully inspire you to take your business to the next level and make your business work better. So have a great one. This is Mike signing off.
Thanks for listening to Making Business Work Better. To find out more about Mike Myro or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.